674, approve recommendations made by Children's Levy Allocation Committee for grant funding July 1, 2014 through June 30, 2017.
Commissioner Salzman.
Thank you, Mayor. In May of 2013, city voters overwhelmingly renewed the Portland Children's Levy for another five-year period, which begins July 1st. We are very thankful that Portland voters chose again to make children a priority, and were gratified by their confidence that the levy is helping to make some of the city's neediest children and families more safe and successful. Today, City Council is being asked to approve the Children's Levy Allocation Committee's investments, which are the culmination of an 11-month extensive public process with a competitive grant application. These investments in proven programs help children and families by providing preparation for kindergarten and academic success through early childhood programs, through safe and high-quality after-school and mentoring programs, through strong community connections and transition assistance for children in foster care. And programs to help children overcome the trauma of abuse and neglect, and parenting classes and respite care for families struggling with violence. And under the new levy that voters approved last May, we're excited that they added a new investment area of childhood hunger relief that will provide healthy and nutritious meals to children to address the dire hunger problem in Portland, where more than 12,000 children in the city rely on emergency food boxes each month for their basic sustenance. Two investments under hunger relief will make a big difference in this problem. The Oregon Food Bank will increase the quantity of food for hungry children and families and make it easier to access the food at schools that they attend now and during summer and out of school time. The Meals on Wheels investment will harness the power of this organization's vast volunteer network and its existing professional kitchen capacity to ensure that children have a balanced, hot, and healthy meal delivered to their door. Hunger has a devastating effect on a child's health and well-being. These two organizations will go a long way to getting food to the families who need it. We're pleased that we will be able to make all of this happen at the same tax rate. The Children's Levy has been at the same tax rate since its inception in 2002. The levy is annually audited and also operates with a 5% administrative cap, so that 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to the proven programs that achieve positive results for the city's most vulnerable children. Before we hear more details about the Levy Hunger Initiative, Levy Director Lisa Pellegrino will provide a short overview of the funding process that led us to this point today. Welcome, Lisa.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So as Dan said, this was the decisions were made after a culmination of a long process, and we have an allocation committee that makes these decisions, that sort of oversees the entire process. Commissioner Saltzman's on the committee, Marisa Madrigal from the county, Julie Young, who was the city-appointed representative, Serena Studemeyer-Wesley, the county-appointed representative, and Mitch Horniker, the Portland Business Alliance Association's representative. So it's those five folks who supervised the process and made the final decisions about what to fund. As Dan said, the levy has funded in the following areas: early childhood, after school and mentoring, child abuse prevention and intervention, and foster care. And then, as Dan noted, we did add hunger in this last levy period. And this highlights the investments made in hunger, $1.3 million to Meals on Wheels, $1.3 million to the Oregon Food Bank. And I think you'll be hearing from them shortly a little more detail on those investments. We did in the process, this process started about a year ago, we did an extensive public input process to identify and prioritize community need. We also did a fair amount of research, gathering a lot of local data, some of it put out by the city, trying to understand what is the situation of children in the city. Between the public input and the research, the allocation committee came up with a set of overall goals for the levy, as well as strategies that they wanted to invest in. So things like intensive academic support for kids and after-school programs, or home visiting programs in early childhood. So some specific strategies that we pursued. These are the levy's overall goals: to prepare children for school, to support their success inside and outside of school, and to reduce racial and ethnic disparities in their well-being and school success. So that's kind of the overall framework that has guided the investments this time. And this is just kind of a quick view pictorially of some of the people who got investments. You guys have a list that is complete, and also that list is available online for anybody who wants to see of all the folks who received investments this time. And this is just a map that kind of tells you what the reach of the investment is throughout the city. So you can see we're pretty well spread throughout the city, concentrated in the areas of poverty in North Portland and East Portland. And now I think Dana is going to have folks from the food bank and the Meals and Wheels come up. And unless you've got questions of me, I'm happy to answer.
Thank you, Lisa. And now I'd like to introduce Star Yerkowitz, who is Manager of Partnership and Programs for the Oregon Food Bank, and Joan Smith, who is the CEO of the Meals on Wheels people. They'll say a few words about their program. Welcome.
Good morning.
Sure. Good morning, Mayor Hales and City Council members. My name is Star Yerkowitz, and I am Oregon Food Bank's Manager of Partnerships and Programs. Thank you for this opportunity to testify on the Portland Children's Levy. I'd like to start off with thanking Commissioner Saltzman for his leadership on including hunger as an additional program area for the Portland Children's Levy. We appreciate very much his vision and hard work. We also want to recognize the Portland voters that chose to invest in anti-hunger efforts. Hunger remains a serious issue in Portland, which disproportionately impacts children. Even as the economy improves, we continue to see families struggle with food insecurity. Oregon Food Bank's most recent survey of emergency food box recipients found that chronic hunger forces families to make difficult choices. For example, 36% of Portland families with children who were surveyed reported having to cut the size of their children's meals or having their children skip meals altogether because there was not enough money for food. The ramifications of childhood hunger are serious. Hunger negatively impacts a child's academic performance, cognitive development, growth, physical, and psychological health. Without intervention, these impacts stay with children throughout their lives. We are grateful to be a recipient of Portland Children's Levy funds. The funds will support our school-based pantry program. School food pantries provide a nutritionally balanced mix of fresh, frozen, and shelf-stable foods, such as fresh fruits and vegetables, meats, beans, dairy, and whole grains. Families who access the school food pantries receive a 3 to 5 day supply of food, in addition to resources like nutrition information and critical referrals to federal nutrition programs like SNAP. The food pantries at the schools are designed as model pantries, incorporating best practices such as offering nutrition and garden education and building parent leadership within the school. In addition, they reach families that otherwise have not accessed much needed food assistance. With the funding from the Portland Children's Levy, we will be able to expand services at 7 current Portland school pantries and open 11 additional school pantries. We anticipate being able to provide over 75,000 children and 37,000 primary caregivers with healthy, nutritious food in the first year alone. To close, I want to share the perspective of the Glen Fair Elementary School Pantry Coordinator. He writes, "Before I came to Glen Fair, I did not understand the full impact of food insecurity on student learning. The Glen Fair community faces incredibly high poverty, with 92.2% of Glen Fair families qualifying for free and reduced lunch, and 17% suffering from homelessness. I have asked students struggling to stay on task in the classroom how I can help them be successful. Many tell me I am hungry almost every day. Funding from the Children's Levy will help ensure that these students and their families can access food in a trusted, convenient location when they need it. Thank you for this opportunity to testify on the importance of the Portland Children's Levy in funding critical anti-hunger efforts. Partnerships like these are crucial to the fight against hunger, and we appreciate the support of the Portland Children's Levy and Commissioner Saltzman. Thank you.
Thank you, Star. Joan?
My name is Joan Smith with Meals on Wheels People, and thank you, Mayor Hales, and your leadership, Commissioner Saltzman, and commissioners. We've been very excited to be able to join other organizations like Food Bank and our referring partners and other school pantries, the Sun Schools, who are working on children's hunger issues. Because as you probably know, our focus has been senior and disabled, and we do some projects like we serve the Rockwood Head Start program and some children's programs. But within our community, we serve about 5,000 meals a day. About 3,000 of those are delivered to disabled clients and seniors living in their homes. And we've seen since 2008 a continued increase in the poverty level of those that we serve who may need weekend meals now instead of 5 days only, and many times a second meal because that's all they have is the one meal. So we've seen a dramatic increase in the need and the growing issues with hunger. And certainly as we looked at Children's Levy issues, the huge overwhelming process or need of our youth in the communities with childhood hunger, it's so daunting. It seems like all these programs are still just a drop in the bucket from the need and the long-term impact. And as Commissioner Sossman said, we do have the capacity in our program. In 2000, the community initiated a campaign to build a central kitchen that we have, that we have a huge capacity. We could prepare, produce 25,000 meals a day, and we're currently at about 5,000. So we can grow the program to meet additional community needs. And our mission expands beyond senior and disabled. It is other communities targeted in high risk. So we do have other disabled contracts and individual contracts serving community hunger needs. And we also have capacity in our labor force with over 9,000 volunteers who are really committed and are able to serve 18,000 clients a year, making sure they receive the meals. And we serve meals every day of the year. If our clients are that frail, we serve hot meals. They receive a meal every single day of the year. So what we propose for the Children's Levy is basically the same business model that we do now, to utilize our volunteer labor force, to use our central kitchen, and use our same high-quality DASH diet. Just like Food Bank, we're looking at fresh vegetables, low-fat meats, high-grain breads to make sure that we have a balanced diet for the seniors that we serve and meet a variety of diets within our restricted menus. So what our plan and our proposal is to receive referrals for really high-risk families who may have a disabled parent or a non-functioning parent or a swing shift or different issues that would put our families in greatest risk that would not be able to manage with normal access of food pantries and support that's in place now. So our partnering agencies would be the Sun School programs in the targeted areas, the school staff in those targeted areas, many of those nonprofits and programs we already work with on senior programs in Impact Northwest. We would provide some meals for SEI, and ERCO are already partners. So we also have the Head Start connection with our meal program there. So we're hoping to reach a very culturally diverse population of families in those targeted areas, not exclusively those areas, because if there are other identified families in high risk, we will serve those meals anywhere. So the referring organizations, as we found that we might actually receive these funds, have already been connecting us to families because we wanted to make sure before school was out that we had a pretty good list of needy situations that we could begin providing some services before we wait for school to start in the fall, since summer is one of the highest risk timelines. And what our plan would be after the referring organizations help us identify the families, we would then do an nutritional assessment like we do for our senior and disabled to really see what access they have to meals, food, just supplies in general. What are their cultural preferences, what are their dietetic needs, so that we can design a menu. We have a dietitian on staff who will work with us on the menus. So then we can really help them provide basic meals that they need, but also help them connect to other resources in the community and connect to nutrition education through our dietitian and maybe a change in eating habits or more access to the foods that they want. So our plan is to deliver complete balanced meals, and the case managers are saying that the preference would be individually plated, so if people eat at different times or have different needs, a complete meal is there, and we feel that's pretty much a nutrition education on its own to be reinforced constantly with an actual full balanced meal. So we will be meeting with the families as we learn more, trying to tailor make it as personal as we can. Even though we deliver 5,000 meals a day, I'm always amazed at how personal that we can make that connection. If you've delivered meals that we know Mrs. Williams doesn't like a banana, and we go to the nth degree to make sure we're enhancing the access to their nutrition and their desire to eat as best we can. In addition, we're going to plan with our community partners some community dinners that we will open and host with the Sun School families or other families that want to come. And we will be doing nutrition education and fun activities, ongoing learning, and it will be, you know, entertainment and eating, but it will be focused on ways to stretch your food dollar, how much can you grow in a 2x2 plot, and so it's really focused on hands-on nutrition and interaction.
Joan, where will you do those events?
Those, when we talked to the Sun Schools, they said they already have these programs Monday through Thursday, and if we could host some Friday in the same location of the schools where the Sun School families come Monday through Thursday. So we may look at, you know, we want to be in our highest risk area, so we may venture out and partner with some other schools if we can see that's the most targeted area and we want to reach new people and be able to share more. But the original idea is to partner with the Sun Schools and not identify a separate new location, but go where they're comfortable and they already know. We also have a lot of our seniors who are grandparenting their grandchildren, and we have seniors in the summer bringing their grandchildren in. So again, this dovetails with what we're already doing and looking at the complete family, not just seniors, disabled, or children separately. So we want to collaborate as much as possible because we're one piece, and even as we do the senior meal program, we don't ever want to start doing everyone else's job. We want to do what our mission is and state of that and collaborate with as many people as possible, like with you on facilities or the county on facilities or our district center partners, our community organizations. So if we're all doing what we do best, we can maximize what we do, and it's almost like a seamless staffing. It doesn't matter so much who's doing what, it's we're all there to help the client. So we look forward to implementing the program and learning and collaborating more as we go. So,
thank you. Thank you, Star and Joan, and we look forward to working with you as we look forward to working with all the other organizations that we have invested in. And we certainly appreciate the City Council's continued support of the Portland Children's Levy.
I actually, if I may, have a question of all three of you. Which is sort of an arcane question about the 5% administrative cap. Now, most organizations, by understanding, spend about 15% of their overall money on administrative or overhead stuff, which includes not just the executive director, but also finance, HR, et cetera. The Portland Children's Levy, as an arm of the city, is sort of an unusual organization in that it just sort of analyzes who to give money to and then hands out that money. But it's my understanding that the 5% administrative cap does not apply to the organizations that actually spend the money, that we're not requiring that Meals on Wheels or the food bank only spends 5% of their money on administration. So that's my assumption. I just want to verify that that's true. And although I don't want to put you on the spot, Ms. Yerkowitz or Ms. Smith, if you're not in the accounting arm of your organizations, I'd be curious as to what the administrative or overhead costs of your organizations themselves are.
I can confirm that your understanding is correct.
Okay, thank you.
I can look back at my person who can tell me. Oregon Food Banks is 6%.
Is what?
6%. Overall for our organization, not within our Children's Levy proposal.
So all of your, does that include, finance, HR, facilities, all of that stuff?
Yes. Yes. I could explain more.
Okay.
You want me to?
Sure.
A large portion of our budget includes the value of the food. And so we have a very large budget. And so our administrative rate is very small.
Okay. So in a way, you're kind of like you're distributing something to other people.
Most service providers are more like 15%, Steve, typically.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And ours is 7%.
Okay.
And we're about 7 or 8% in fundraising. So our strategic goal is always to stay below or at 15% or less.
So fundraising, you're not counting as part of administration, but it's sort of an overhead function.
Well, it's an overhead function, but it's not an admin. Admin, we keep it about 7%.
Okay. Between the two, it's around 15. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you. Thanks very much. Other questions? Thank you all. Dan, do you have other testimony?
That's it. So I have some questions about other parts, if not the hunger part, and that's about the Sun Schools. I noticed that three of the Sun Schools weren't funded, and yet this, in what you just handed out, there's to be determined $750,000 for Sun Schools. How does that affect the mayors and the Sun Schools under supporters sponsors groups expectation for which Sun Schools were going to get funded this year?
All of the schools that was in the mayor's plan with the chair have been funded. So we contributed a portion of the funding for that, and all the rest have been covered by other folks in the system. So all of the, I think there were 10 new sites, if I'm not correct. Not all of them were in the city, because the county is also helping to pay for this, so they're paying for the sites that are not in the city. But we are contributing a total of $750,000 over 3 years to the opening of those new schools, those new sites.
So what's, how many of the sites are now Children's Levy funded?
We're going to contract for 5.
And that was what was in your expectation, Mayor?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
Yes, I mean, I worked it out with the county, basically, and we agreed on which ones made the most sense just in terms of systems and contracting types of things. But the number of schools has not changed from the mayor's and the county chair's plan.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. And I might have some more questions after testimony.
Okay.
I have one question, Mayor. And it's prompted by a thought about how the city is trying to sort of work equity into institutionalizing equity in everything we do through the Office of Equity. And part of that is looking at what are the criteria that we establish for doing business with nonprofits or for-profit organizations. What do they have to demonstrate to be a good partner? And I'm curious, I know equity is something that the Children's Levy spends a lot of time thinking about and working on. Do you have a set of guidelines, sort of baseline expectations that every funder is required to subscribe to, like we have a non-discrimination policy in effect, or blah, blah, blah. Do you have a template that everyone has to subscribe to in order to be eligible for funding?
Well, there's the city requirements, things like non-discrimination, that are mandatory. In the application, so everyone who receives our funding has to go through the application process. That's what just happened over this past year. And to do the application, there is there's a 100-point application, and 25 of those points are in the section that asks all of the questions you're talking about equity and about how what your organization is like, who is your management, your board, and your staff, what kinds of policies do you have around equity, have you done an equity assessment, what sorts of feedback loops do you have to check with your clientele to understand whether you're serving them well, do you have language access? I mean, there's a whole set of questions, and those, we worked on those with the equity office in the city to develop, and ran that kind of by them to develop those set of questions. Now, we will monitor to see how well people do over time on those issues as we monitor any grant.
So my hope someday is that across all of our platforms, we have a similar set of criteria so that, like, mm-hmm. for housing and for Children's Levy and everything, there's a similar methodology about disclosure and how we weight those things.
And we used housing as a template.
As a template. Mm-hmm. And is, just as a general matter, I would love to see that piece of what you use, because I think it could inform the way we think about sort of institutionalizing that within the city. Mm-hmm. And my guess is that you may even go further than some exist other city bureaus in what you require in terms of disclosure. Is there an instance where the failure to have a certain policy in place is a disqualification altogether, or is it just a question of you lose points?
We required that in that section, anybody who would be able to proceed into consideration for funding get at least 16 out of those 25 points. And yes, there were organizations that did not get 16, and they were disqualified.
Great. Well, this is obviously an ongoing issue about how we set the criteria, you know, mm-hmm. what's a disqualification, how much of the total scoring, how much should we weight equity, and then having some consistency across all of our agencies. So I'm interested in learning more about how you constructed that, and it might help us with our thinking about contracting generally at the city.
I'd be happy to share that with you. And keeping in mind also the Children's Levy serves about 60% children of color, so it's particularly of concern to who we contract with, since that is who is consuming the services.
Do you know how many of the entities you contract with are communities of color?
Entities that we can, you mean of the grantees, how many are communities of color, or do you mean culturally specific organizations, or?
Well, you know, like we have minority and women-owned business criteria for contracting. Do you know?
Right. We use different criteria. And we have, there's culturally, we in the application we define, we use the coalition's definition of culturally specific organizations and programs. And so I could get you a list of all of the ones that meet that criteria that we funded. I couldn't rattle them all off. I mean, there's ERCO, there's NEA, SEI.
I'd like to know what percentage are culturally specific organizations of the organizations you and what percentage of the money goes to culturally specific organizations.
Yes, we can do that.
Yeah, we've got it's about 30%. It hasn't been tabulated or added up that way.
Right.
It's about 30% of the money went to, which was our goal, actually. Our goal was 30%, which is similar to the MWESB goals typically used in the city. They're around 30% is typically the goal. Some is lower. I mean, we looked around just to see what somewhere is about 20% for some. But so we hit our goal on this one.
Thank you.
Good. That's great. Other questions for Lisa? Thanks very much. No. Obviously, we might have some more at the end, but let's take testimony from those of you who have signed up, please, Carl.
We have one person, Crystal Alinsky.
Okay, Crystal, are you here? Okay, it looks like that is not the case. So other questions for Dan or for Lisa before we proceed?
Yeah, I have another question. We received a letter from Metropolitan Family Services, ERCO, the Immigrant Refugee Community Organization, and Janice Youth regarding the allocation for the hunger programs. And my understanding was that you did a different method of assessing where the money went for the hunger relief programs, that you had decided that it was going to go to the two major organizations?
Yes, the allocation committee chose to invest in the Oregon Food Bank's proposal and the Meals on Wheels proposal. There were several other proposals that were not selected.
And my understanding is, according to this letter, there are 700,000 that's unallocated funds in the hunger program?
No, the hunger money is fully allocated, $2.6 million between those two organizations over the first 3 years.
And is there any requirement they're asking for that the two recipient organizations to subcontract to culturally focused programming?
There has been, the allocation committee did instruct the staff to work with the two organizations to make sure that they are in turn working with culturally specific organizations to maximize their outreach.
So there is a directive to do that?
Yes, from the allocation committee.
And you'll be able to report back to us on how much that went?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And thank you. Okay. That covers that.
Yeah,
just one comment.
Yes, please.
Joan talked about partnerships, and I was delighted to hear that part of the vision is to work with school-based providers and to do it in a Sun School setting. But I'd also like us to, I assume that we're going to be looking at a range of options. So we have, obviously, programs we run through the community centers, you have organizations like Zanger Farm, which are building an urban grange, which is also in a catchment area where there's a lot of hunger. So my hope is that that we'll be looking for a variety of sites to do those, to do the meals and the programs and the outreach with other with schools and with other nonprofits.
Great. I think you can trust both the food bank and Meals on Wheels to serve where the need is, where the people are that need to be served.
Good. Any more council discussion? Then let's take a roll call on the proposal, please.
Fish?
Commissioner Saltzman, let me start just by thanking you for your leadership in bringing the children's levy to life and most recently getting it re-upped by the voters so they have the funding to allocate. To the allocation committee that have worked so hard on this process, all of our community partners that are the recipients of the funding and doing God's work. And then also to you, Dan, for your vision about bringing hunger into this equation. In a country as rich as ours, it's disgraceful. There's so many children and older adults who go to bed every night hungry. And this is at least an effort to make a dent in that national disgrace. So I want to thank you for your great work on this, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman?
Thank you, Commissioner Fish. I'd like to thank my fellow members of the Allocation Committee for the long and hard work that they participated in over the last year that culminated in the investment decisions before you today for your approval. Again, they include former County Chair Marisa Madrigal, and I'm pleased to say that current County Chair Deborah Cafori will be replacing Marisa on the Allocation Committee. Julie S. Young, who is the City of Portland's Citizen Representative, Serena Stoudemire-Wesley, who is the county-appointed Citizen Representative, and Mitch Horniger, who is the Portland Business Alliance's appointed representative. I'd also like to thank the staff of the Children Levy, who worked long and hard to shepherd this process to its culmination. Lisa Pellegrino, Meg McElroy, Lisa Hansel, John Kelly, and Mary Gay Broderick. I'd also like to thank Shannon Callahan in my office for her hard work. And most importantly, I want to thank the voters of Portland for their continued faith in the Portland Children's Levy, as evidenced by your overwhelming support for renewing the levy last year in 2013 for another 5 years. So thank you, and thank you to my council colleagues for your approval today. Aye.
Novick?
I'd also like to thank Commissioner Saltzman and his staff, the voters of Portland, all of the organizations that do great work around the city with children's levy money and that will do great work, and Lisa Pellegrino for her leadership of this effort for a number of years now. And I also echo Commissioner Fish's comment that it's regrettable that people and children go hungry in this country, but it is a fact, and it's a great thing that the children's levy is expanding its ambit to address that hunger. Also, I just want to take a moment to make the point that I think that there's a perception in some segments of American society that all of the problems of the world could be solved by dotty little nonprofits doing their own private fundraising without any assistance from the government. And I hope that people will look at what the Children's Levy does and the organizations arrayed here today and recognize that actually great organizations that are great at fundraising still can't do all that they would like to do without occasionally some assistance from the taxpayers. Aye.
Prince.
Thanks to everybody who's worked so hard on this and to the taxpayers of Portland. When people are worried about their property taxes being high, and they certainly are, this is one of the pet projects that they go to. And that is certainly, I'm happy to be supporting pet projects that support hungry children. I think it would be wonderful if we could go to the legislature and get this program adopted by them statewide, like we did with the Future Connect program in the last legislative session. It shouldn't only be Portland children who have these extra assistance. There are hungry children all over Oregon, and we, the citizens of Oregon, need to figure out how to take care of everybody in our community. Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman. Aye.
Hales?
This is another Portland success story. Dan, thank you for your continued leadership and for everyone involved. I just got back from a U.S. Conference of Mayors meeting, which I attended over the weekend. I came back on Monday, and, you know, I think we sometimes fail to notice, but I notice when I go to those conversations how much Portland is considered a model on a lot of things. Yes, of course, urban planning, urban planning and transportation, but also for our ability to partner up with the nonprofit sector in our city, which is more robust here and highly competent and meeting all kinds of needs in the community. And other cities simply don't have as much connective tissue as we have as a city between government and the nonprofit sector to both get things addressed in the community, but also to leverage public dollars so effectively. So it's one more case where we're a little weird in Portland in a very good way. And this is, I think, an example of how we come together as a community, care about each other, and then actually get real results in a competently managed program with great partners. So I'm very proud of this work and very happy to be part of this unanimous vote to continue it. Aye. Thank you all.